Can I add my welcome to that of Henry's? It's great to see you all. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. And I'm going to read John chapter 1, verses 9 to 18. John chapter 1, verses 9 to 18. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at the Apostles' Creed. And we're looking at the Apostles' Creed from John's Gospel. And we're doing that because we want to understand what we believe as Christians. And the Apostles' Creed helps us. It's an old creed which Christians have said for centuries. And it details the Christian faith clearly and brings out the fundamentals of what we believe. And this morning we're looking at that statement in the Creed, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And so the sermon this morning, and the service this morning, it's all about Jesus Christ. He is the sum, the center, the focus of Christianity. When people ask questions about God or about the Christian faith, we point them to Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is all about him. And he is unique. There's been nobody ever, and there is nobody now like Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus is the God-man. He's fully God and fully man at the same time. Two natures in one person. And in his life and ministry, he demonstrated through what he did, through what he said, the love and the compassion of God himself. He healed the sick. He forgave sins. He cast out demons. He calmed storms. He raised the dead. There is nobody like Jesus Christ. In fact, many people who aren't Christians, who don't like the teaching of Christianity, respect the person of Jesus Christ. They like his character. There are many people who aren't Christians who say, if only everybody lived like Jesus Christ, wouldn't the world be a better place? Well, we're looking at Jesus Christ this morning. And there's three things that I want us to focus on. I want us to focus on his person, his priority, and his place in our lives. The person of Jesus Christ, the priority of Jesus Christ, and the place of Jesus Christ in our lives. First of all, the person of Jesus Christ. There are many names, there's many titles given to Jesus Christ in the Bible. In the Creed, we have four of them. He is Jesus, Christ, only Son, and our Lord. Three of those titles are in our passage from John's Gospel, and one of them is implied by John. First of all, he is Jesus. Jesus is his name, his Greek name, which comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, which means God saves. Now, when Jesus is called Jesus, what it means is that he is the God who saves. He's the one who saves us from our sins. He's the one who, through whom we can be forgiven and be right with God again. See, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved but through Jesus Christ and Jesus only. But he's not only Jesus, he is Christ. Again, Christ is the Greek word coming which translates that the Hebrew Messiah, the anointed one, the king. See, Jesus is the king, the anointed one, who was to come to deliver his people, to bring them out of darkness into God's marvelous light, to establish a new kingdom in which peace and justice and righteousness will reign and will reign forever. See, he's Jesus Christ. He's also God's Son. Now, in many ways, and in many senses, we are all Christians are sons and daughters of God. We've all been adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. God is our Father. We are his sons and daughters. But Jesus is God's Son in a different way. Because Jesus has always been God's Son. He's always been God's Son because he is God's Son by nature. He is the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God. But he's also our Lord. You see, because he's the Savior of the world, because he is the King who's going to establish a kingdom, because he is God's Son, the second person of the Trinity, he is also the Lord. He's the Lord of the world. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the Lord of our lives. He has rights over this world. He has rights over your life because he made the world, as John says. Through him, all things were made. But he's also redeemed the world. He's the one who's come into the world to save the world, to remake this broken world. But he also keeps the world. He preserves it and he governs it. He's the one sitting on the throne who we worship. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. See, that's who he is. He's Jesus. He's Christ. He's the only Son. He's our Lord. And so the question is, in light of that, what priority should he take in the Christian faith? Well, the answer is he should take first priority. He should be number one. You see, if that's who Jesus Christ is, then Jesus Christ is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the center of the Christian faith. And so, if you want to know about the Christian faith, you don't have to read lots of really big, thick books. You don't have to listen to lots of intellectual podcasts. You need to look to Jesus Christ. Because the Christian faith is all about him. The gospel is all about him. John says that in verse 18. He says, no one has ever seen God. Nobody's ever seen God. Moses, who came the closest to seeing God in the Old Testament, in Exodus 34, he saw the light coming from God's glory. That was it. That's as close as you get. No one's ever seen God, but Jesus Christ has made him known. You see, John's gospel, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, is the introduction to John's gospel. It's the prologue. And what's it all about? Well, John is saying this. Jesus Christ is the ultimate disclosure of God. He's the Word made flesh. He's God's eternal self-expression, God's word revealed to you and to me. And so Jesus says later in John's gospel, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I am the Father, our one. Or in John 17, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the eternal God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. John goes on and on about this in the gospel, because Jesus Christ is the gospel. He's the gospel himself. He's the good news himself. And so in John 6, when Jesus feeds 5,000 people, he doesn't point people to the bread of life that can satisfy our souls. He says, I am the bread of life that can satisfy your soul. In John 8, he doesn't point to the light of the world that can bring light into the darkness of your hearts and your minds. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me shall have the light of life. In John 11, Jesus doesn't tell us about eternal life. He doesn't point us to how to get life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus doesn't point to the gospel. He says, I am the gospel. I am the bread. I am the light. I am eternal life. See, Jesus Christ is the gospel. That is who we believe. You see, the gospel is not theology. You know, there are some Christians at times who can have an unhealthy focus on doctrine and theology and knowledge. Doctrinaire Christians who love doctrine, who love knowledge, who hold their theology in a harsh way and are always wanting to argue with people who are also Christians, who love the Lord, but who they disagree with. Heresy police, who are always inward looking. Are you believing the right thing in the right way, just like me? Now, we should believe the right things. That's why we're looking at the creed. We should believe every word in the Bible. Knowledge is a good thing, but we should never separate the truths of Christianity from the person of Jesus Christ. Because when that happens, our faith becomes hard and cold. If you're into baking and you like baking cakes, one of the essential things for baking a cake is a tin. If you don't have a tin when you bake a cake, you've got a mess. You need a structure in which the cake can be baked. But baking isn't about tins. It's about cakes. That's the important thing. And the same is true in theology. See, theology is the tin in which the cake of Christ exists. But the important thing is not the tin. It is Jesus Christ. He is the gospel. But the gospel is also not experience. You know, there are Christians who can emphasize feelings and experience and even applying the gospel into our lives, which is a good thing to do. Experience is good, feelings are good, but experience isn't the gospel. Jesus Christ should be more real to us. More real to us than our experiences and feelings, than our struggles and difficulties, than our doubts and our fears. You see, if you separate experience from Jesus Christ, you end up with a Christianity that is like candy floss. You know, candy floss is all right. It looks okay when you get it at the fairground, but there's nothing to it. Just a lot of air and a bit of sugar. Experience has its place. Feelings have their place. Examining your heart and applying the gospel to your heart and seeing your progress as a Christian has its place. But we don't live as Christians by experience. We live as Christians by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gospel. And so the gospel also is not good works. You know, there are many Christians who want to emphasize good works. Loving God. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Serving others. Helping the needy and the poor. Those are good things to do. Those are commands of Jesus Christ. He tells us to do them. But they are commands of Jesus Christ. They are not Jesus Christ. If you separate Jesus' commands from Jesus the person, you end up, and the church ends up, as a social workplace with do-gooders or social activists. You see, Jesus Christ is the gospel, not his commands. And if you are to love others as you love yourself, if you are to keep those commands and to have and to love other people as Jesus Christ tells us to, then you need to, it begins by having that love in your own heart. And that only comes through having faith in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the gospel. Jesus Christ is our theology. He is the truth. Jesus Christ is our experience. He's the life. Jesus Christ does guide us in how to live because he is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life because he is the gospel. He is the good news. You know, he is the prophet who has revealed God to us. Tells us what we should believe. He is the priest through whom you can have an experience of God. He is the king who tells us how we should live our lives. See, Jesus Christ is the gospel. And so everything about Christianity, everything, all the doctrines, all the different commands of Christianity are important. Everything that happens in church is important. But it's only important in relation to him because he's important. You see, because they're connected to him, they have a place. But he's the one who's important. He's the center. He's the focus. He's our captain. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our fortress. He's our guide. He's our victory. Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. He is the gospel. So if Jesus Christ should take priority in the Christian faith, in the message of Christianity, what place should he have in your life? How should you respond to Jesus Christ? Let me give you six ways that we should respond. Let's see if we get through all of them. Six ways that we should respond to Jesus Christ if he is the focus of the Christian faith, which he is. First of all, you should trust him. Jesus Christ is the center of what he does. Many of us have jobs as administrators, as teachers, as nurses. Our work is over there, we are over here. But with Jesus Christ, his person and work go together. He is the one who bore our sins on the tree. He is the one who laid down his life for you and for me. He's the one who loved us and gave himself up for us. See, Jesus Christ is at the center of his own work. And so when it comes to faith, our faith is in Jesus Christ and his cross. His person, who he is, and his work, what he did. As Christians, our faith is in him and in him alone. And so we should repent of all other things that we rely upon in our lives. Whether it's ourselves. Whether it's our knowledge, believing all the right things. Whether it's our experience, I've had an experience of God. Whether it's our works and our actions, the way we try and help people and do good. We should repent of relying on all those things and turn and trust in Jesus Christ alone, because he is the gospel. Our faith is in him and him alone. Jesus didn't say, look to that thing and be saved. He said, look to me and be saved. He didn't say, go over there and be saved. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. We should trust him. But we should also study him. See, the object of all Jesus' teaching is himself. I don't know if you've seen that again and again. Jesus is constantly in the Gospels telling us about himself. And so should we study what he says? Yes, but we should study what he says because they are all about him. The same is true with the Holy Spirit. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible's been written. That's the purpose for which the Bible's written. Why has the Bible been written? So that you might see Jesus Christ. And so we should study the Bible. We should study it as a church. We should study it individually. But we should study it because we should study him. We should study Jesus Christ. The aim of our study is not knowledge in and of itself. The aim of our study is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ should flavor every Bible study. He should be the theme of every community group. He should be the substance of every sermon. A sermon without Jesus Christ is not Christian. He should be in every service. Jesus Christ should be the center. We should study him, focus on him. But we should also love him. You see, we don't, as Christians, first and foremost, love an idea. We don't even, first and foremost, love a truth. First and foremost, we love a person. Peter says that at the beginning of his letter, 1 Peter. He says to the dispersed Christians in Asia, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. You see, Jesus Christ is the one we love. And if you love Jesus Christ, then you will love his people. You will love his church. Those who love Jesus Christ most love the church most and his people most. You know, if you've got a friend who you really love, then you find yourself loving your friend's friends because you love your friend. And the same is true with Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus Christ, you will love the church. Every part of the church. Every person in the church. You know, someone said to me recently, do you need to go to church to be a Christian? Well, that's like saying, do you need to spend time with your wife to be married? In one sense, you don't. You don't need to spend time with your wife to be married. You can be married and never talk to your wife, and never see your wife, and never spend time with your wife, and never have day and night, and drink cherry coke together. You can be married and never do any of those things. But it's not really a marriage. Because if you love your wife, you will spend time with her. If you love Jesus Christ, you want to spend time with him, and spend time with his people, and spend time in church. But also, if you love Jesus Christ, you will want to serve others. In John chapter 12... there is a beautiful story of a sinful woman who Jesus has forgiven. And Jesus is reclining at a meal table with religious leaders. And the woman comes in. And while they're all talking, she breaks open her expensive perfume jar and pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her tears and her perfume and her hair. Out of devotion to Jesus Christ. See, if you love Jesus Christ, you will want to serve Jesus Christ. You will want to do something for him, even if it is costly. We should love Jesus Christ, but we should also enjoy Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever thought about that as a Christian. You know, there's an old catechism that says the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. See, the purpose of our lives is to enjoy God, to enjoy Jesus Christ. We're to enjoy him. He's our source of true and lasting joy. In times of sadness and when things are going well. See, in times of sadness, our comfort is found in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man who was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. A man who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was a human being, fully man as well as fully God. Isn't that wonderful to know when you're suffering? In times of darkness and struggle, that Jesus Christ knows what you're going through. He knows how you feel. He's there with you and can comfort you and support you. That's why in the midst of sorrow, you can have some joy. Because your joy is not found in your circumstances, but in the one who is in your circumstances, who knows your circumstances, Jesus Christ. But when things are going well, Jesus is our joy. You know, Jesus Christ gives so many good things in life. Good things for our soul, like forgiveness of sins. Good things for our bodies. Sometimes he heals us. He will heal us one day, completely and fully. He gives good things into our lives day after day. Life and breath and food and drink and relationships and work. Lots of good things. But those good things are meant to point us to Jesus Christ. And our joy is found most in those things when they're found through those things, when it's found through those things in Jesus Christ himself. All those things fade and groan and don't really give ultimate joy. Jesus Christ does in and through them. He's the source of our joy, the source of our happiness. And so we should enjoy him. But we should also copy him. When I was at school, my worst subject at school was art. I once got 9% on an art exam. I am awful at art. And one of the reasons is because I have no imagination. I did a bit better if somebody put a flower in front of me and said, "No, you've got no imagination, but just try and copy that. Do your best." Many of us struggle with the commands of God. You know, should you keep the Ten Commandments? Yes. Should you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself? Yes. But we often say, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Can someone give me an example of how I should live? Well, that's what Jesus Christ did. See, Jesus Christ, in his life, he told us what to do, but then he embodied the commands that he gave. And that's why Jesus Christ said, don't follow my commands, but follow me. Copy me. I am the example of faith. I practice what I preach. Follow my example, and you will obey my commands. But finally, we're not only to copy him, but we are to look forward to meeting with him. I've already said that Jesus Christ is with us now. When things are up, he's with us. When things are down, he's with us. He's with us all our life through. When we're healthy, he's with us. When we're sick, he's with us. When you're happy, he's with you. When you're suffering, he's with you. He's even with you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus Christ has promised never to leave you or forsake you. Dan, isn't it wonderful to know that he's always with you? Well, if that is a comfort and a joy now, how much more joy will you have one day when you see him face to face? When you don't just know that he is with you by his Spirit, but when you actually know he's with you because you can see him. You're in his presence, the presence of the physical risen Jesus Christ himself. That is what we should be looking forward to as Christians. We should look forward to the fact that one day we will be with him. He is our good news now. He will be our good news forever and forever. I've mentioned this before in a sermon, but it struck me again this week. Henry Venn was a godly Anglican vicar in the 18th century who really loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he became ill with the illness that he was going to die of, a doctor kept coming to see him, a Christian doctor, to look after him. And one day the doctor came to him and said, "Henry, you've got 24 hours to live. You're going to die today." And the doctor went out and told his family that. 3 weeks later, Henry Venn died. And the doctor came to the house, called by the family. And during the conversation, the family said to him, "Doctor, you told us 3 weeks ago that Henry was going to die within 24 hours, and he didn't do." He said, "It was true. He should have died 3 weeks ago. But when I told him he was going to die, he was so filled with joy at the thought of seeing Jesus Christ face to face that joy kept him alive for 3 more weeks. Do you know where you're going? One day you will see Jesus Christ face to face. He is our good news. He is the gospel. He is where our joy is found. He's where our hope is found now. He's the focus and the sum and the center of our faith. We trust him now. We study him now. We love him now. We enjoy him now. We copy him now. What will it be like when we see him face to face? What joy will be yours? What joy will be mine? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And we ask now that you would, in your mercy and your grace, help us to keep him at the center of our hearts and our minds. Empower us, renew us by your Holy Spirit to do that, because we can't do it ourselves. Our focus goes off him to food or drink or whatever we're doing. Help us to keep our focus on him. He's our joy, our hope, our life, our love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.